Thank you, Renee. Let's pray. Our blessed God and Father, we are so thankful for tonight, for the chance to talk about the love of God. Thank you for the opportunity to talk to these young people, to be your voice, and to talk about your gospel, and about your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. So we just pray for this time, pray for the words that come forth from my mouth, pray for the scripture that we turn to, pray for those who are unsaved here tonight, Lord. May they be convicted of their sin and in need of a Savior. Pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so this is a gospel meeting. And it's always interesting when I study for a gospel meeting, because there's so many things to pick from and experiences and scriptures. And so I trust the Lord has given me these thoughts, and I've asked Him to help me communicate them to you this evening. So what do we know about the gospel? Well, the gospel is simple. It's not complicated. It's simple. Young children understand the gospel. Older generations understand the gospel. It's simple. So I want you to keep that in mind. This isn't a college class. You don't need advanced mathematics degrees or anything like that. It's simple. It's the good news. So as I was thinking about and studying for this meeting, I tried to think of something that would relate to your age group. You know, it's easy to mesmerize young kids at camp with stories and things. I mean, they're exciting to me and to them, but maybe not to you. But I wanted to pick something that would relate to you guys a little bit more, hopefully. And I'm going to use verses that you guys have all heard before as well, hopefully. Maybe some not. But I'd like to start by laying kind of a foundation for my talk this evening. And I'd like to start with creation. Because I think at your age, if you're like me or anything remotely like me at your age, I struggled with fitting in. Who am I? You know, what was I allowing myself to get into to fit in? And there was a reason why I got sucked into that. And the reason was really that my relationship with the Lord was not grounded. I did not know who I was truly in Him. I was a Christian, but I hadn't reached out to the Lord and really solidified that relationship with Him. So let's go back and think about what happened at creation. God created the heavens and the earth. Eventually, He created man. And I think if we start there, we can start to see what God's intent was for us, for mankind. And a little bit about who He is. If we turn to Psalm 139, or I guess more correctly, the 139th Psalm, these are some verses that we should all be aware of and probably have heard many times. Verses 13 through 18. And as we read through these, I want you guys to think about what God's intent was. What were His desires? Why did He create man? Okay. Why did He create me? Starting with verse 13. For Thou didst form my inward parts. Thou didst weave me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are Thy works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from Thee, when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Thine eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in Thy book they were all written, the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. How precious also are Thy thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with Thee. I love these verses because it's clear to me in these verses that God knows who I am before I was even born. When I read those verses, what I get out of that is intent. Not accident. Intent. Purpose. Meaning. Substance. Okay? Not happenstance. Not collision of rocks in space over billions of years. But power. Purpose. For me, an individual. For each one of you. Okay? The God of the universe created each one of us here with purpose, with intent. When He initially created man and all the other creation, it was perfect. He Himself saw that it was good. So where does that leave us? Where am I going here? God wanted, I believe, He created man in His image. I believe that we are very precious in His sight. We have worth. He has purpose for each of us. And He desires a relationship with each one of us. He wants to commune with us. Okay? What did He do with Adam and Eve? In Genesis 3, I think God liked to exercise. He liked to go for walks, didn't He? He walked in the garden. Okay? He walked in the garden and He talked with Adam. So He wanted communion with us. And then something happened. So we have a God, the God, the Creator, created us individually, unique, each one of us, none of us alike, thankfully, with purpose, with intent, and He wants to commune with us. But something happened. Anybody want to answer that question? What happened? What happened in Genesis? What's that? Sin happened. Three little letters happened. And one sin in particular. And parents know it well. Disobedience. Disobedience happened. And what happened after that? One sin. What happened to God's creation after that one sin? What happened to the communion that He so desired after that one sin? That's kind of the next thing I want to talk about, is sin. To answer my question, creation as God intended it was destroyed. Not immediately. But it was cursed. Not just mankind, not just the snake, but all of creation. Okay? As I get older and I have more time to reflect back and I see different trends and things going on, it's clear to me the impact of sin, just in the short 41 years that I've been alive, the impact that sin has had, and the subtlety of sin and how dangerous it is. That today, people don't acknowledge sin. The sin that keeps us from having communion with God, that you and I have all been inherently born with because of Adam and Eve. That today people don't talk about sin for what it is. Instead, they give everybody a condition. well, he's this, or he's that, or she has this, or we have that. Or, quite frankly, they don't care. Okay? They don't care. We as a society have become numb to sin. All right? We no longer are repulsed to hear of certain things or see things. We go about our day-to-day lives and we hear swear words or we might see things and it's just water off our backs. It just doesn't impact us anymore like it used to. Okay? And I've seen the amount that I've just seen in my short life. You could talk to your grandparents and others who have been around longer than I to get a much better relative idea of what that's been like as a whole. So we have this one sin that started chewing away at God's perfect creation. And I don't think it was just, causing or resulting in the serpent slithering on his belly and eating dust the rest of his life, or that women in childbearing are going to experience a lot more pain, or that man, Adam, was going to have to work by the sweat of his brow to provide. I think all of creation was cursed by that one sin. I think the amount of health problems and stuff that we have today and the psychological issues that we have today are a result of sin. We need to call sin what it is. We need to give it more credit, I think, for what it's doing. We need to acknowledge that it's a problem. Okay? Now, as individuals, we have to acknowledge. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, anybody want to quote it for me? Thank you, Micah. For all have sinned. All have sinned. Not just the people in the center section, not just those with blonde hair or wearing red sweatshirts, okay, or red hats. All have sinned. You guys, there's a personal accountability that we have, each one of us, individually. Sorry, John. We have to acknowledge that sin. It's in us. And we need to do something about it. Okay? If we don't, we can't commune with the Lord. All right? It won't happen. So, where does that leave us on this last day of 2014? It's already the last day of 2014, you guys. Where does that leave us? We have a Creator. He created us. Perfect creation. And ever since then, spiral down. Is there no hope? Does God still love us? You guys have any of these questions at your age? Yeah? Yeah, I did. I sure did. So in these last days, the message is the same as it's been since Christ died. And even before that, that God has always provided a way. In the Old Testament, he had the law. And by faith, those people that kept the law, or attempted to, that was counted unto righteousness for them. In the New Testament, we have Christ, the Lord Jesus, our Savior, came down here, became man, and died for us. And Deuteronomy 31:6, the Lord says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Never, ever, ever, ever. He always provides a way. So practically speaking, you guys, when you think about God, and if you have any question about if He exists or not, and if He cares about you, the God that created you, I'd like you to think just for a few seconds, practically, I want you to think about instances in your life where the Lord has protected you. I've got several. I'm sure most people do. And again, what I'm trying to convey here is that God hasn't forgotten about you. Okay? Whether you're saved here or not, He hasn't forgotten about you. He cares about you. So some of my experiences have been throughout life, and at key moments, I might add, where maybe my faith was, my relationship with the Lord wasn't quite what it needed to be. In fact, I was younger, but probably the first time that really hit me was right before this conference, actually. Some of the folks in my generation will remember a car accident. I tried to be Superman and fly out a car window. Got a little reminder. Probably, I don't know, when the bridge collapsed in Minneapolis. That was another God thing, because I had just gone over the bridge before it collapsed. And numerous times in driving of near misses and things like that, where I know that it was the Lord saving me and protecting me. Why? My job's not done yet, I guess. Okay? Anybody else in here have those types of experiences? Close calls? Where's Layton? Layton and I were talking about his. If you guys haven't ever had that type of experience, try this one on. Did you guys all wake up this morning? Yeah? You took a breath? Yeah. Yeah. Loving God loves you guys. And He holds our breath in His hands. So, if you don't think you have to go to war or have any really awesome experiences to think that you know, or to test the Lord, that He, you know, does He really care for me? Is He going to protect me? Be grateful. You woke up this morning. He's given you every breath in your body. Okay? All right. Better hurry up here. So, in 2014, the last day, how do we handle this thing called sin? What has God provided for us in order to restore that communion with Him and to save us from the penalty of sin? Well, love and obedience in His Son. We know in John 3:16, how much God loved us, each one of us, from the youngest kid to the oldest here tonight. We all know that verse. You guys recite it with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever, you guys. God's not here sifting out people like humans do. He's not filtering out people based on their race, color, or creed. Okay? He doesn't see all that. All right? He sees an individual or a room full of individuals that He created with intent, with purpose, with meaning. Okay? He loves you. He loves you, and He sent His Son to die for you. All right? Stop and think about that for a minute. Let it permeate your mind and your heart. Think about what that means. Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. A verse that we all know, I think most of us. The gospel is simple. Don't let anybody tell you that it's not. If they tell you that it's complicated, run. I'd like you to turn to Luke chapter 7. My Sunday school class and Tom's class will tell you that I really like this portion. It's a portion that I relate to. I'll begin reading the verse 36 through the end of the chapter. Now one of the Pharisees was requesting him to dine with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. And when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and kept wiping them with the hair of her head, and kissing his feet, and anointing them with the perfume. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Now, from Romans 3:23, we know that there wasn't just one woman that was a sinner in that room. Verse 40, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he replied, Say it, teacher. A certain money lender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. Which of them, therefore, will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, You have judged correctly. And turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven. For she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, Your sins have been forgiven. And those who were reclining at the table with him began to say to themselves, Who is this man who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. I love this portion. I love how it depicts the gospel. I love how it depicts how the Lord Himself responded to both the woman and to this Pharisee. He didn't look back at that woman and say, Get away from me. You're touching my garment. What are you doing? You made me trip. He didn't respond to the Pharisee and get angry with him. The picture here, this woman, this sinner, and how she came to the Lord. It wasn't, I'm going to check my schedule first and see, and I'm guilty of this, but check my schedule, see if I can fit in and squeeze in a 5-minute garment touching with the Lord here. The soonest she heard that he was in town, she sought him out. She went to go find him. She went to go find him. And this Pharisee, well, he had issues of his own. But I'd like to read verse 48 and 50 together, because I think in verse 49 there's kind of a step back to kind of, you know, share some behind the scenes things. But Jesus said to her, Your sins have been forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. The gospel is not complicated. The gospel is simple. First John 4 and verse 9. Guys, and there's many more verses in Scripture. I'm by no means exhausting the number of verses that talk about the gospel and share the love of God. They're numerous. This whole book, in fact. 1 John 4:9. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. Another verse. God's only Son sent here to die for each one of us. So the gospel is simple. It's clear. We're a sinner. We are sinners. We sin. God cannot commune with us. And because of that, because He's in heaven, if we're not a believer, we won't be able to commune with Him. We cannot be with Him. And there's only one alternative. Okay? I'd like to take a few minutes to talk to those of you who are believers here tonight. And I hope that everybody is. But I think sometimes, especially at your age, again, speaking from my own experiences, we're believers. We've accepted the Lord as our Savior. And then we start kind of forgetting that a little bit. Especially as we become adults and our lives get busier and busier and life is happening and more things are coming in, complicating our lives, challenging us. And we forget. We become discouraged. So I'd like to talk, just have a few comments on that, because I think it's important for believers to tell the story, to keep telling the story of the gospel. I spoke a couple weeks ago in our Sunday school class on the word hope. And hope is really important. It's to place confidence in, or the confidence in a future event. And hope that's used in Scripture, from the studying I've done, it's an absolute. It's an absolute. You guys know what an absolute means? It's an absolute. Okay, I'll buy that. It's an absolute. The world is kind of shaken up right now, and there's people talking about all kinds of different things and coming up with new reasons for everything, this, that, and everything else. And you've heard maybe the term absolute truth. People are putting their hopes and their thoughts and their commitments into things that are in constant flux. And you guys that are in college, maybe even high school now, probably see a lot of that. Everybody's got their idea of what something should be or what caused what. To me, it's very peaceful. It's reassuring to know that there's absolutes. And the hope that we have in Christ as our Savior is absolute. Okay? Titus chapter 2. And as you're turning there, as I'm turning there, there it is. Backtrack a little bit. God, Creator, created everything. You, me, individuals, purpose, intent, meaning. He loves us. Provided a way. All right? We can and should have hope in that. All right? Verse 11 through 14, Titus chapter 2. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed, and purify for Himself a people for His own possession, zealous for good deeds. You guys, I want you to be encouraged. If I could give you all an encouragement pill, I would. But better than that, better than a pill, which so many people want today, let's remember the hope that we have as believers. Let's remember the hope that we have through Christ Jesus. That hope isn't based on anything that's going to change. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today, yes and forever. It's grounded. It's firm. It's absolute. And some of you are like, oh, Tim, I know this. I know this. Well, good. Are you living it? Are you practicing it? To the fullest extent that you can or should? Do you get queasy when it comes test time? Do you get frustrated with people? Younger siblings? Parents? Are you fully utilizing that hope that's available to you as a believer? Honestly? I don't. Do you look past people's faults? Do you look past the fact that maybe they don't dress like you? That they're not good at sports? Do you fully utilize that hope? That's my challenge to you and to me as believers. Okay? I just have a few references I'm going to rattle off here regarding hope. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Jeremiah 17:7. How blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Psalm 146:5. And hope deferred makes the heart sick. Proverbs 13:12. Let's not forget who we are in Christ Jesus. And let's take that, you guys. Those of you that are believers that have accepted Christ as your Savior already, let's take that and go influence the rest of the world. Let's be a salt and light. Let them see the joy and the peace that we have through Christ. Okay? Utilize that hope. Just a few closing points here and we'll be done. Throughout this, when I kind of get blindsided or get lost in my own pity and whatever you want to call it, I'd like to go back, as I've tried to lay out here this evening, to go back to the basics of what was God's intent for me. That's not always an easy thing to think about. But I think we need to. We need to remember that He wants to be with us. That He wants to commune with us. He wants to walk alongside of us. He wants to help us and take care of us and nurture us. And when life gets busy and seemingly out of control, I like to do that. Okay? When I have a near miss, I'm very quickly reminded that, okay, Tim, there's obviously more you need to do. And let's get on with it. Let's not worry about projects or bills or whatever. Things that I get distracted by. Let's think about the Lord. Let's think about His things. Let's think about eternity. Okay? Let's not worry about too much into the future. Choose to be thankful. There's too much discontent in the world today. People have forgotten, Christians included, about how grateful we need to be. I work with a lot of ex-military, retired military, and when things are tough, they look at me and they go, "Tim, it's not that bad. People aren't shooting at you." I go, "Yes, you're right. Thank you for that reminder." Let's be grateful for what we have. And let's be grateful that we have a Savior. No matter how strong we are, we all reach a point when we need God. One of my underlying points that I want to make to your age group, and again, something I struggled with, and I don't remember the exact day, but I can tell you and remember the exact moment when I finally realized that I didn't care what anybody else thought. The only person that I cared about what they thought was the Lord. So often, your age group, again, me included, my example, we put so much effort into try to fit in and worrying about other people. And even as we get older, we get stressed out about it. What are they going to think of my clothes? What are they going to think about my house? Da, 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 da. Okay? I reached the point that I just said, you know what? I need the Lord in every aspect of my life, and I don't care what anybody else thinks. Not that I want to be insensitive or any of that, but it's not going to influence how I live my life or how I behave. Okay? I'm going to live my life for the Lord and let that be my guide. Again, the gospel is simple. It's not mechanical. It's real. It's love. It's grace. It's truth. It's absolute. And that you're accountable for you. Each one of us. Guys, you've heard this many times probably, maybe from parents, grandparents at camp, maybe here in classes. There's nothing that I can do. There's nothing that any of these other folks here can do to save you. It's between you and the Lord. Okay? I wish there was something that I could do, but not going to happen. So, I'm going to leave everybody here with a choice tonight, including myself. The choice is this, that you have to make. What will you do with Jesus? We're going to sing that song in closing, but to any of you that are unbelievers here this evening, I say to you, you have a Savior that died for you. He loves you. He wants to be with you. And He's waiting to hear from you. For all of us that are believers, we have a Savior that will never leave or forsake us. Let's not forget who we are in Christ Jesus. Just never, ever forget that. And let's live it. Okay, let's turn to number 348, please. Thank you, Renee. That's a question, you guys, we need to ask, I think, ourselves daily. I think that the time that we're in right now, it's very interesting to me to see many things going on, some encouraging, some not so encouraging. I'm encouraged to see all of you guys here. I'm encouraged to know that probably most of you guys are Christians and that I'll see you in heaven someday. So I hope that when you answer that question quietly to yourself, or I guess if you want to go running around building, if it's appropriate, that it's an answer that's well-pleasing to the Lord. And that if you aren't a believer, that you'll accept Him tonight. Because all the fun things, the memories, everything that we enjoy on this earth, in light of eternity, we won't care about it. Okay. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the hope that we have in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, I just pray for everyone that's here, unbelievers first of all, Lord, that they would receive your word. Lord, that you would convict them of their need of a Savior. And that you would draw them to you. And for the believers, Lord, that you would all be encouraged. That we would have hope. That hope would emanate throughout our lives and be a testimony to those around us wherever we go. A hope that will bring you honor and glory and strength. Father, I thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.